Allah, I can see beautiful decorations that have been made for the sake of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Please read a loud salawat for all those brothers and sisters who have decorated this center for the sake of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we have, mashallah, several kids of the community reciting nohas, latmiyat, and speeches in the first 10 days of Muharram. Please read aloud salawat for all those kids and their parents and teachers.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
And these decorations that we find on the door, mashallah, beautiful scripts, and the great hadithun Qudsi, which has been written on the mihrab recently, Walayatu Ali ibn Abi Talib Hisni. Brother Kibrichi, as usual, has been doing this extraordinary effort, mashallah. Please read a loud salawat for him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We had the blessing of the presence of our guest speaker in the first 10 days, first 12 or 13 days of the majalis. And our community benefited from the presence of his knowledge. So please read aloud salawat for the guest speaker. And one salawat for all those brothers and sisters who did the services, khadamat, not only for the guest speaker. And these services are actually not for him. The services were originally for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And so all these brothers who have been working hard in any form, serving the guest speakers that we had in the first few days, and those brothers and sisters who will work hard for the upcoming two guest speakers that we have, mashallah, please read a loud salawat for all these brothers and sisters. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وفرقانه الحميد: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من زارني في حياتي أو بعد موتي فقد زار الله. صلوات. This program, this Majlis al-Aza, is held in the memory of a great scholar, a scholar who has blessed this community with his presence several times, and all of you are familiar with his personality. And ulama not only have a high level of respect when they are salih, but also have a great deal of haqq on our neck. And the best thing, among the best things that we can do for them, is to remember them, fulfill our obligations towards them, and pray for them. Hujjatul Islam al-Muslimin, Haji Agha Marhum, was a person who had great love for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And this fact is obvious from his own wasiyyat, because in his wasiyyat he talks about the ziyarat of Ashura. And ziyarat of Ashura is a kalamun qudsi. It's above and beyond the status of hadith of ma'soom, because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beloved servants of Allah get this blessing to do the ziyarat with ikhlas. Because one ziyarat of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam with ikhlas is sufficient for the sa'adat of a person. And tonight I would like to talk a little bit about the concept of ziyarat in Islam, and to try to shed some light on the fact that why in Islam the ziyarat is considered to be so important. My teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah, was saying that ziyarat is considered to be one of the most effective means of the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt. And you all have known already that there is no success and no guarantee of success for any human on the Day of Judgment who meets Allah without the ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, because of what the Prophet has already said, narrated by the Sunni brothers and the Shias alike: من مات ولم يعرف إمام زمانه مات ميتة جاهلية. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, narrating in his Musnad, this authentic hadith that whoever dies and did not recognize the Imam of his time dies a death of ignorance, jahiliyyah. So being a serious human being, striving for his eternal success, we don't have options other than to have the ma'rifat, and ziyarat is one of the most effective means of achieving the ma'rifat in our life. It creates a connection between the heart of the person and the mind of the person with the ma'soom which you are visiting. Visitation should be physical for all those who are capable of physically paying a visit to the ma'soom, because nothing in the world can replace the benefits of a physical visit. But for those who are unable, Islam never comes to a dead end or cul-de-sac. There is always an option in all scenarios. So we have adab and etiquettes narrated how to continue doing ziyarat from far away if we are unable to make it by our physical presence. And for those people who fall in this category, they will be receiving the same thawab as if they are visiting the ma'soom by their physical presence. Ma'rifat of the Imam is instrumental in saving us from the dhalalat and misguidance, because when somebody asked, actually it's Sulaym ibn Qais asking Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, that ma adna ma yakunu bihir rajulu dhalan, what is the minimum, the bare minimum with which a person can be called dhal, gumrah and misguided? What's the minimum? If somebody has that much, he will be called a misguided person. And Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Islam replied back, أَدْنَى مَا يَكُونُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ ضَالًا أَنْ لَا يَعْرِفَ حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ. The minimum that for a person to be gumrah and misguided and dhal is that he doesn't have the ma'rifat of the hujjat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So now the path of ma'rifat is masiri ghaibi. It's a divine path leading towards the blessings of the unseeable world. It's a masirun ghaibi. And this ma'rifat of the Imam, as a result of the ziyarat, can only be happening for those who deserve it. Just like not everybody deserves to be guided by Allah, Allah says in the Holy Quran to His Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You don't guide the one whom you love. That means Prophet is not the one who can guide a person whom he loves. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Instead, it's Allah who guides the one He wishes. So basically, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides everybody. Initially, ابتداء. Because His rahmatun amma, rahmati wasa'at kulla shay. His initial, general, all-inclusive mercy engulfs everyone and everything without exception. Unless later on, through our disobediences, after disobediences, and warnings of Allah after warnings, we don't listen and don't heed to the divine warnings and continue to go astray wishfully and knowingly, that's where the further stages of hidayat and guidance are stopped from Allah's behalf. And in those stages, no matter who can come and try to guide, is not going to work. So that's where the deserving status comes in to play a role. So we need to be deserving to reach the opportunity to have the ziyarat of the ma'soom, because ziyarat helps us acquiring the ma'rifat. So when the ma'rifat requires you to become mustahab, the ziyarat automatically will also require you to be mustahab. And it's not about who we are, it's about the personalities we are visiting. The mazur. Mazur is the ma'soom. We are the za'ir, and ma'soom is the mazur. And because the ma'soom is the madhar of Allah in all of his names and attributes, so the mazur actually is not the ma'soom himself, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And basically, since the ma'soom, just like the ma'soom alayhi salatu wassalam, his azamat and greatness is unthinkable and unreachable, similarly to what we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his greatness and azamat, which is unreachable and unthinkable, ma'soom is representing him. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says in Nahdul Balagha, Khutbah al-Shiqshiqiyya, most famous sermon, number 3, يَنْحَدْرُ عَنِّ السَّيْلِ وَلَا يَرْقَى إِلَيَّ الطَّيْرِ. And he has the right to say that. That means the storm is flowing from me. Sail. You know? That means from the mountain of the greatness of my existence, there is a storm which outflows. وَلَا يَرْقَى إِلَيَّ الطَّيْرِ, and no flying bird can reach to my highness. So Imam Ali's highness is what he himself describes as unreachable, rightfully so, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's highness is unreachable. When Allah says, when Imam Ali himself in the khutbah of Nahjul Balagha, khutbah number 1, talking about Allah, Imam Ali says, لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفتن. That means that no one can reach, in other words, the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our imaginations and thoughts and ideas cannot reach the highness of Allah, and the depths of our intelligences cannot fathom and reach his highness. So similarly to what we talk about, we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way, the status of ma'soom is also unreachable. And as we turn to Imam Ridha alayhi salam, you look at the Musnad al-Imam al-Ridha, this great book that narrates the hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam in volume number 1. This is narrated that Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam had said when he was taken forcibly by Mamun to the capital city of Marv, which was the capital of Mamun's empire in those days. And in the Jami', in the Al-Masjid al-Jami', in the Jami' Mosque of the city of Marv, when somebody asked, فَأَدَارُوا أَمْرَ الْخِلَافَةِ وَالْإِمَامَةِ, somebody started the subject of Imamat and Khilafat in front of Imam Ridha alayhi salam right in the mosque. And that's where Imam Ridha alayhi salam said, Hal ya'rifuna qadr al-imama wa mahallaha min al-umma fa yajuzu fiha ikhtiyaruhum? Do they know the level, the value, the highness, the level of imamat and its status as compared to the ummat, so that it may be okay for them to choose a leader, an imam? Do they even understand what imamat is? Do they understand the role assigned to the masoom being a leader, so that they would be able to choose a person like him? Do they even understand that role? When we are unable to understand the highness of the masoom, how in the world we can give a license to ourselves to choose an imam and leader on our own to replace that masoom whose highness is unthinkable for us? And that's exactly what we are discussing, that the azamat of the masoom, similar to the azamat of Allah, is unthinkable and unreachable. Inna al-imama, then Imam Ali Ridha alayhi salam says, Inna al-imamata ajallu qadran wa a'zamu sha'an, which I'm paraphrasing and explaining, not the translation of the hadith. I have been doing that. Inna al-imamata ajallu qadran wa a'zamu sha'nan wa a'la makanan wa amna'u janiban wa ab'adu ghawran min an yablughaha an-nas bi'uqulihim. Imamat is more majestic in its value and status, and greater in its sha'an and status, and higher in its level, and deeper in its reality, in other words, deeper in its reality than what the people could reach with their intellects. أَوْ يَنَالُوهَا بِآرَائِهِمْ, or they could reach with their opinions. You know, let's gather the opinions of the people, let's do a voting and select a leader for ourselves. Isn't that right? That's what the people did in Saqifa, gathered together. And, you know, Hazrat Abu Bakr was elected by the majority vote of those who were present in the meeting of Saqifa. Isn't that right? So, أَوْ يَنَالُوهَا بِآرَائِهِمْ, is imamat something that the ara and votes and the opinions of the people can reach? أَوْ يُقِيمُوا إِمَامًا بِإِخْتِيَارِهِمْ, or they could install an imam with their, ikhtiyar and authority. إِنَّ الْإِمَامَةَ خَصَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْخَلِيلَ بَعْدَ النُّبُوَّةِ وَالْقُلَّةِ مَرْتَبَةً ثَالِثًا. Imamat is the thing that Allah specified Prophet Ibrahim, the friend, Al-Khalil means the friend of Allah, with that position after he had reached the position of Nubuwwat, first of all, and then the position of Qullat, the friendship of Allah, second of all, Martabatan Salisatan, that means at the third place. So we learn in the light of this great statement that Imamat, the mansab of Imamat on behalf of Allah, is a position which is higher and more significant and more hard to achieve as compared to the mansab of Nubuwwat and the mansab of Risalat and the mansab of Qullat of Allah, which no prophet ever reached other than Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because he is the only one who is called the friend of Allah, the second most superior prophet after our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Understanding the highness of the masoom is unthinkable, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam enjoys the status of being the Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, because when the Holy Quran says wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim, and we have two aqwal in the tafsir, and one of the two aqwal is that this zamir, this pronoun min shi'atihi, returns back to this is referring to Imam Ali alayhi salam. The other tafsir says it's referring to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. So Hazrat Ibrahim was the Shia of Prophet Nuh. That's the first call. And the second call in the tafsir says that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So Hazrat Ibrahim is also proud to follow the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and obey and operate under the guidance of the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So we find that there are two benefits mentioned by my teacher for the ziyarat of the Ma'sumeen alayhi salam, apart from the biggest benefit which I already mentioned, which is the ma'rifat of Allah and ma'rifat of the Ma'sum. Apart from that, there are two other benefits that we achieve through the ziyarat of any Ma'sum. The first benefit is ma'iyat, getting along, to get along with the Ma'sum. When you pay a visit, it gives you the blessing of getting along with that Ma'sum. And this ma'iyat is going to provide us further with the opportunity of shafa'at. Because those who are with the Ma'sum are the only ones who will get their shafa'at. Those who are far away from the Ma'sum, or those who are unable to even see the face of the Ma'sum on the Day of Judgment, how would they expect to get their shafa'at when they are even unable to see the face? Because they are so far away, so broken apart. There are some people who cannot be able to see the face of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Didn't the Prophet say in his own hadith, when Hazrat Khadija is the rawiya of this hadith, and she says, Prophet's head was in my lap, and I looked at the jamal and beauty of the Prophet, and I said to myself, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing in my words, that how bad it is for a person not to be, for a human being not to be able to see this beautiful face on the Day of Judgment. How bad it is for a human not to be able to see this beautiful face on the Day of Judgment. And I said that sentence to me and started crying. She started crying and her tears fell on the face of the Prophet, and Prophet opened up his eyes and inquired, and she said the whole thing to the Prophet, that I looked at your jamal and beauty and thought and said to myself, how bad it would be for a human not to be able to even see your face on the Day of Judgment. And Prophet said, do you know who is not going to be able to see my face? And I said, no. And she said, you know, basically, of course, she allowed the Prophet to explain. So Prophet said that the person who dies from this world while drinking alcohol and not doing tawbah. That means if a person drinks alcohol continuously and does not do the tawbah and dies away from this world, that person will be unable to even see the face of the Holy Prophet on the Day of Judgment. So, also, the person who hears the name, listens to the name of the Holy Prophet and does not send salawat. So we find that there are some categories of human beings who are so far away from the Holy Prophet and far away from the paradise, and close to the hell, and close to the azab, and close to the ghadab of Allah, and far away from the rahmat of Allah and rahmat of the Prophet, because Prophet is also the madhar of the rahmat of Allah and rahmatan lil alameen. But you have to be muhsin to get the rahmat. Let's follow the principles. Nobody is above the law. You see, Quran says, "Inna rahmatullahi." When a person came to Abu Dharr and said, you know, talked about his sins and said, you know, I'm mentioning the rahmat of Allah. Abu Dharr replied to him, "Rahmat of Allah is close to the muhsinin only, because Quran says, 'Inna rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsinin.' So let's not violate the red lines. Let's go by the principles. Let's go by the books. Let's go by the rules. No one is above the law. Because here, there are people, when it comes to, you know, talking about the criminals, that's where they always talk about rahmat. Well, rahmat is about muhsineen, not the musi'een. You cannot find in the Holy Quran saying, "Inna rahmatullahi qareebun min al-musi'een." No. So even for the shafa'at, there are principles. Not everybody is eligible to receive shafa'at. لَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. There are category of human beings that even the shafi'een's shafa'at is not going to benefit them. Because nothing is above the law. There are principles. And this is what bothers some people, because they want the criminals to run away with their crimes and not to be punished. So those who are siding with the criminals will always try to justify the crimes of the criminals, because they are siding with them. Because they themselves are not serious to understand Quran. So we find that the first benefit of ziyarat is ma'iyyat of Ahlul Bayt, getting along with the Ahlul Bayt, which will in return provide you the benefit of shafa'at when you are with them, close to them. That means you are close to Jannat. Prophet had already said, "Ana Madinatul Hikmah," I am the city of wisdom. Wa hiya al-Jannah, which is the paradise. City of wisdom is the paradise. Wa Aliyun Babuha, and Ali is its gateway. So Prophet is the whole paradise is created from the Noor of the Holy Prophet. Everything there is from his Noor. So let's be clear about these things, the rahmat and jannat and qurb of the Prophet are things which are all harmonious with each other. In order to receive the rahmat, we still need to do certain things despite all the sins. Certain things should still be there in the spirituality that makes us eligible to receive the shafaat. Of course the shafaat belongs to sinners. But still, there has to be certain things done by the sinners. They should not just rip apart all the curtains in hijabah. At least they should keep some of the curtains intact. What Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahjul Balagha, that اجعل بينك وبين الله سترا وإن رقا. That means make between you and Allah a curtain, although it may be thin. There has to be some curtain, some of the red lines should not be violated. At least some stuff is there in your spirituality to make you eligible. So ma'iyyat provides the opportunity of shafa'at, and musahabat, that means being with them. Ma'iyyat in the Day of Judgment, as a matter of fact, is nothing but the zuhur of the ma'iyyat of dunya. Because Yawm al-Qiyamah has 100 plus names in Islam, and one of those 100 plus names is Yawm al-Zuhur. So basically what happened back then in dunya is going to appear on all, having all those having hijabat on their eyes. It will appear on those. For those who never had hijabat, things were already obvious, but they saw the malakut already back then in the life of dunya. But for those who had the hijabat, it will appear upon them that the things were like this. So those who were with the Ahlul Bayt and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt back then in the life of dunya, they are the ones who are musahib and a companion of them in this life, and they deserve to be a companion of the Ahlul Bayt in the barzakh, and they deserve to be companion of Ahlul Bayt in the akhirat and in the Day of Judgment. So, and that's exactly what sa'adat is. This is what the sa'adat is. وَالَّذِينَ يَسَلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَى. So we need to keep intact. Ulaika, at the end the ayat says Ulaika lahum uqbaddar. So uqbaddar is the ultimate abode. So the real sa'adat is achieved with the musahabat of Ahlul Bayt and the muwalat of Ahlul Bayt and the shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt and the ma'iyat of Ahlul Bayt. And that's the benefit number one that we get through paying a visit and doing the ziyarat. Benefit number two that we get from the ziyarat of the ma'sumeen alayhimu salatu wasalam is the fact that the ma'sumeen do our ziyarat reciprocally. And that's another extremely high level of benefit, because they are Kareem ibn Kareem. And they never ever let any good deed and ihsan go unnoticed, because they have karamat nafs and sharaf. So awliyaullah are such, they initially provide the karamat and blessing and lutf and their man and karam to all the people ibtida'an. Later on, if they don't deserve, they get deprived. So in the Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, dua number 12, we learn wa idh kullu ni'amika ibtida'. So Allah is also like this. All the blessings of Allah are ibtida'. Initially Allah provides His blessings. He doesn't deprive, because Allah is not bakhil. He doesn't deprive anybody. Later on, we, because of our sins and without doing the tawbah, we get mustahab, that now the ni'mat should no longer sustain and remain in our control, and that's where the ni'mat is taken away. And also in the dua number 45 from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we learn وَيَامَنْ لَا يُكَافِعُ عَبْدَهُ عَلَى السُّوءِ مِنَّتُكَ ابْتِدَاءً. O you who does not reciprocally punish, in other words, punish his servant on the bad deed, his minnat and ihsan and good behavior of Allah is not like this, to initially punish the servant on the bad deed. Allah always gives the margin. Initially He is providing the blessing and gives the margin for us to repent. Finally, when we don't repent after warnings, that's where the initial ni'mat no longer remains, because we don't deserve it. Allah is adil. No one is above the law. Justice needs to be served. Innaka dhul fadl azim wal mannil qadeem. Don't we say that? Innaka dhul fadl azim wal mannil qadeem. That's part of the Sahifa Sajjadiyya, dua number 34. Dua number 24. So Allah's man and ihsan and good behavior is qadeem. Qadeem is something which is sabiq. It's earlier. That means He was the one who initiated the good behavior. That's qadeem. If our good behavior was ahead of Allah's, then His man would never be qadeem. Isn't that right? So when we say Allah's man is qadeem, that means that was the initial good behavior ahead of anyone else. Ya man huwa fi ihsanihi qadeem. That's what we say in dua al-jasim al-kabeer. Ya da'im al-fadl 'ala al-bariyya. For you who all, oh, the one who always has fadl and extra mercy over the creation. Ya da'im al-fadl 'ala al-bariyya. So all these du'as teach us the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing His mercy, His ni'mat. And so basically we need to learn that to keep this ni'mat intact. So likewise, Ahlul Bayt initially provide their ni'mat. When we pay a visit to them, they also pay a visit to us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي, you remember me, I remember you. So if we remember Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reciprocally remembers us. Zikr of the abd causes zikr of Allah towards the abd. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly remembers us when we remember Him. And since the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are the madhar of Allah, so we find whenever we remember them, whenever we recall them, we pay a visit to them, it's not possible that they do not pay a visit to us. Like you know, it's narrated about Shaykh Abbas Qummi rahmatullah alayh, when he passed away and his son has seen him in the dream and asked him, said Shaykh Muhaddis Abbas Qummi, who compiled his Mafatih al-Jinan, his son saw him in the dream and asked his father, what's your situation in the barzakh? And he replied that I went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein 3 times in my life. And Imam Hussein has visited my grave 3 times. So of course you can understand when Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam is visiting the grave of somebody, what is going to happen in the grave? Because Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, Inna Allaha khalaqa al-jannata min nuril Hussein. Allah created the paradise from the Noor of Hussein. Paradise complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another riwayat we find that the Jannat complained to Allah, رَبِّ لِمَا جَعَلْتَنِي مَسْكَنَ الضُعَفَاء وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Oh my Lord, why did you make me a residence of the weak people and the destitute people? Everybody who enters the paradise will be mustadhaf, weakened masses, and poor people, masakin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back that are you not pleased that I have beautified you with Hassan and Hussein? In other words, and that's where the paradise will feel happy, the riwayat says, just like a bride becomes happy. So we find that Ma'sumeen always take care of the Zair, Dasgiri, helping out the Zair, paying a visit to them, because see, the Zair is a life, it's a guest, and every life and guest has a haqq in Islam, and the Zair also has a haqq which we call haqqus Zair. Haqq al-Zair has to be paid. So it's impossible for a Zair to pay a visit to the Ma'soom but not to get his haqq, because they are Kareem ibn Kareem. So the Haqq al-Zair is impossible for you to be deprived of. They never deprive any Zi Haqq, any person who deserves a right, they never deprive him or her from their rights. That's impossible because they are Ma'soom. So the hadith from Tahzeeb al-Ahkam of Shaykh Tusi, volume number 6. Tahzeeb is one of the 4 mother books of hadith. وَلِكُلِّ زَائِرٍ حَقٌ عَلَى مَنْ أَتَاهُ. Shaykh Tusi narrated in Tahzeeb al-Ahkam, وَلِكُلِّ زَائِرٍ حَقٌ عَلَى مَنْ أَتَاهُ. For every zair, there is a haqq, a right, upon the person whom he is visiting. وَأَنَا زَائِرُكَ وَمَوْلَاكَ وَضَيْفُكَ النَّازِلُ بِكَ. And I am your Zair and your lover, in other words, and your guest who is arriving to you. So when we are arriving to the Masoom, it's impossible for us not to get our haqq from them. And that's where my teacher was saying that Ziyarat is one of the Madanul Istijaba, one of those places where it's very likely that your dua is not rejected. Whereas, as far as the dome of Imam Hussein is concerned, that's for sure, that's confirmed. But we are talking about the dome right now. We are talking about as a concept of ziyarat as a whole. Ziyarat is a madhanul istijaba. It's a place where it's very likely that your dua is not going to be rejected. But if you happen to be standing under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there is no question about the fact that istijabatu dua tahta kubbatihi, that the dua is mustajab under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And also We have Imam Sadiq alayhi salam narrating that that قال الحسن بن علي عليه السلام لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله يا أبا ثعلب. Imam Hassan said to the Prophet, to Rasulullah, Ya Abata, ma jazaku man zaraka? Oh my father, what is the reward for the one who visits you? And Prophet replied, قال Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله يا بني من زارني حيا أو ميتا, whoever does my ziyarat while I am alive or I am dead. That means in any of those cases, أو زار أباك, or does the ziyarat of your father, أو زار أخاك, or goes to visit your brother, that means Imam Hussein alayhi salam, أو زارك, or pays a visit to you, that means Imam Hassan alayhi salam, كان حقا علي, it's a حق, a right on me, أن أزوره يوم القيامة, to pay a visit to him on the Day of Judgment. That's what we are discussing, that reciprocally they always do the ziyarat. Prophet has already explicitly mentioned this point, that it's a haq on me to pay a visit to him on the Day of Judgment. فَأُخَلِّصُهُ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ, and so I'm going to get him rid of his sins. Also another hadith informs us, مَنْ أَتَانِي زَائِرًا كُنْتُ شَفِيعَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, whoever comes to me as a zair, I will be his shafi'. I mean, I'm going to do his shafa'at on the Day of Judgment. How much emphasis we have learned to do the ziyarat after umrah or ziyarat after hajj, isn't that right? Ziyarat is a value of Islam that we need to promote in our children, and we need to transfer this amanat of Ahlul Bayt to our children so they cherish about the fact. I remember Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah alayhi saying in one of his speeches that our youth should be such, they should feel proud that I have visited Karbala. They should feel proud I have visited Mashhad. They should feel proud I have visited Najaf. That's what our youth should feel proud of, instead of feeling proud that I have visited Paris or, you know, Berlin or whatever Western capitals. This is a value. This is a value that we have to transfer to our youth, that they must understand and feel proud that we have to go and pay a visit and, you know, be at the service of the masumeen, because all of them are alive and they are shahid over on our a'mal. Of course we do it for the sake of Allah, and this is considered to be hijrat towards Rasulullah. This is considered to be going towards Rasulullah, and he himself has mentioned that man zara qabri ba'da mawti kana ka man hajara ilayya fi hayati, whoever pays a visit to me after my death is like the one who has migrated towards me in my life. Fa in lam tastati'u, if you could not, that means if you couldn't make it, you couldn't pay a visit to the Prophet, fab'athu ilayya bisalam fa innahu yablughuni, so send the salam. That means at least you guys should send your salam to me. فَإِنَّهُ يَبْلُغُنِي, because certainly it reaches me. So if we can say salam from far away, if we are unable to make it, we can always send salam to them from far away, and it will certainly be reaching to the Holy Prophet. Also he says, مَنْ أَتَى مَكَّةَ حَاجًّا وَلَمْ يَزُرْنِي إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ جَفَوْتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, whoever comes to Makkah performing Hajj but he didn't do my ziyarat towards Medina, I'll do jafa towards him on the Day of Judgment. This is jafa on Rasulullah. We learned the entire Hajj from him, isn't that right? We learned the whole Islam from him. We would not be here if the Prophet was not there. How bad it would be for a person to go for the Hajj and you know, performing the manasik and ibadat at Makkah and its surroundings, but forget the personality through whom he has learned the entire Islam, including Hajj. And وَمَنْ حَاجَّأَنِي زَائِرًا, and then Prophet said, whoever comes to me as a zair, وَجَبَتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي, my shafa'at becomes wajib on, for him. وَمَنْ وَجَبَتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي, وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, and whomsoever, for whomsoever my shafa'at becomes wajib, Jannat becomes wajib for him. Of course, because Prophet shafa'at is never rejected. He is very, you know, picky and choosy about his shafa'at. He is not going to do shafa'at just for anybody. He has principles and values, just like Allah has principles. So one, when he abides by certain principles and he cares about Allah's mashiyat, so Allah will care about his shafa'at as well. So ziyarat of Imam Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, which is, has become a symbol and icon of Islam, and icon of the true Islam. If somebody wants to prove his true love towards the Prophet, then the Prophet say, "Man ahabba man arada an yanzur ila ahabb ahlil ardi was sama fal yanzur ila al-Husayn." Didn't he say that? Whoever wants to see the most beloved person of the heaven and earth should look at Husayn. Didn't the Prophet say that? So in the eyes of all the angels and those who are living in the heavens, and in the eyes of all the humans who deserve to be called humans living on this planet, and not just the humans, the word Ahl in Arabic is not specific to human beings only. It includes the jinns, it includes all the living organisms, it includes everything that is available on the planet, the birds, the fishes, the animals, the plantations, the rocks, the mountains, the stone, water, rivers, and oceans. They all recognize the greatness of Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam. And Ayatullah Sayyid Jafar Shustari rahmatullah alayhi had said that everything cried on Sayyidul Shuhada without exception. Everything cried. How can a thing cry without having life? Can you imagine something which is dead but still crying? A dead thing, a person or thing has no emotions or feelings. So mashallah, all these mawjudat have the sense to recognize their Imam. So they have their own level of ma'rifat in accordance to their wujud. They have their own level of ma'rifat towards the Imam. So Zayd al-Shahham narrates from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that I said to the Imam, "Ma liman zara qabra Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi." The person who visits the qabr of Rasulullah, what does he get? And Imam Sadiq replies, "Kaman zara Allah fi arshihi." And whoever pays a visit to Rasulullah's grave is just like the person who has visited Allah. And the same thing we find is about Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself. The same thing is there for him that Imam had said to Mufawwal ibn Umar, one of the muwassaq and siqa and authentic narrators and very respected narrators of our history. Mufawwal ibn Umar narrates from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that Imam said to him, "If you want to visit, if you want to shake the hand, musafaha, shake the hand of 124,000 prophets of God, go for the ziyarat of Hussein. If you want to do the ziyarat of Allah, go for the ziyarat of Hussein." How much important value it is in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt for going for the ziyarat of Hussein ibn Ali. You know, for every ziyarat, you find there are adab and mustahabba, isn't that right? So we find when we go to the ziyarat of Rasulullah, ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, it is mustahab for us before going to for the ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, we do the ghusl of ziyarat. Isn't that right, that mustahab? But when it comes for the zair of Imam Hussein, you never can find a single narration asking you to do the ghusl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you with that ghubar and dust that has settled on your body and all the zahamat and efforts that you went through in the travel towards Karbala. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, who is the gharib and who is the acham and who is the lonely and who is the mahroom, and you are paying the visit to such a person who is the most beloved. La yawmaka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. Didn't Imam Hussain say that? La yawmaka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. No day is like your day, O Abu Abdullah. This is what Imam Hussain said to his brother before his death. So Imam Hussain is certainly unique. And his ziyarat is so that Allah doesn't want you to do the ghusl. Go with the same dust that has settled on your body, because that dust has a value. That ghubar also is beloved in the eyes of Allah, because that is for the sake of Hussain. Everything for the sake of Imam Hussain has a value in the eyes of Allah. Because of the value of Imam Hussain. Our Urafa, when they visit the Karbala, you know, some of them don't even wear the shoes in the city of Karbala, because they say, we don't know where, in which parts of this city, the blood of Hussain has fallen down. The blood of Imam Hussain has fallen down on which of the spots, we don't know. We are not here to put our shoes over the blood of Hussain ibn Ali. So they take their shoes off in the entire city of Karbala. This is about the love and ishq of Imam Hussain. This is how, you know, our ziyarat's value also depends on our ma'rifat. What is the level of our love towards Hussain ibn Ali? That's how our ziyarat would be. And the more your love towards Hussain ibn Ali, the more your love and ma'rifat of the Imam and taharat of the qalb, the more is the value of your ziyarat. So we find that Imam Hussain al-Islam is so beloved. But there is a personality in Karbala. There is a personality in Karbala who is the beloved of Imam Hussain. You know who is that personality? Who is the mahbub of Imam Hussain? That is Ali Akbar. Imam Hussain had a lot of love. This Majlis al-Aza and Rauza Khani is for a father. And I would like to mention the Aza of Imam Hussain, who is the father of Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar is the mahbub of Imam Hussain. And he deserves to be the mahbub, because he is the most similar person to Rasulullah from every aspect without exception. We find Imam Hussain took a lead on all in every khair on Karbala, and this matter of shahadat is no different. So he asked his son, according to some scholars, Imam Hussain asked his son Ali Akbar to take a lead in shahadat. Taqaddam waladi, move forward, ya my son. So Imam Hussain never was reluctant in sending his son. He was reluctant in sending Hazrat Qasim ibn Hassan, because he is the memory, maybe because he is the memory of his brother. But Imam Hussain was never reluctant in sending Ali Akbar, because he wants to take a lead in the valley of Shahadat. So Ali Akbar was sent first and ahead of all the Bani Hashim, according to some ulama. So we find Imam Hussain is sending Ali Akbar, and the amama of Rasulullah is put over the head of Ali Akbar. Every time there was the time of Adhan arriving, Hajjaj ibn Masruq al-Sha'bi was there in the qafila of Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salam to say the Adhan. But on the morning of Ashura, we find that Imam Hussain did not ask Hajjaj ibn Masruq al-Sha'bi to say the Adhan. Instead, Ali Akbar was asked to say the Adhan. Ali Akbar said the Adhan at the time of Fajr in the lahja of Rasulullah, because his lahja was the lahja of Rasulullah. Did Imam Hussain say, when he was sending Ali Akbar, Allahumma shahad, Sayyid ibn Ta'us narrates, Allahumma shahad ala ha'ula al-qawm, faqad taraza ilayhim ghulamun ashbahun nas. Oh my Lord, be a witness on these people, because now the young man is going towards them, who is the most resembling person among the people towards your Prophet. Ashbahun nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi rasulik. The most resembling towards your messenger, he said, towards your messenger actually, in terms of his khalq, in his creation, wa khulqan, in his morals, wa mantiqan, and his statements and speech. So everything of Ali Akbar is the most resembling towards Rasulullah. Such a ma'soom person, this makes Ali Akbar ma'soom, according to my teacher. Because he is ashbah, ashbahun nas bi Rasulullah. Ashbah can never do the same. وَكُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ زِيَارَةِ نَبِيَّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ And then Imam Hussain said, whenever we used to be mushtaq, we had the ishtiyaq and we were eager to do the ziyarat of Rasul, of your Prophet, we used to look at Ali Akbar. So Imam Hussain is not looking at Ali Akbar, actually he was looking at Rasulullah in his niyyah, because he is so similar to Rasulullah. By looking at Ali Akbar, Hussain ibn Ali salam is doing the ziyarat of Rasulullah. And now, when Ali Akbar was sent, we find Imam Hussain also had sent his curse on Umar ibn Sa'ad. Sayyid ibn Ta'us says, Rahim, qata' Allahu rahimaka, kama qata'ta rahimi. May Allah cut your lineage the way you cut my lineage. Imam said that to Umar ibn Sa'ad. Only Allah knows what has happened, what were the feelings of Hussain ibn Ali, because nobody has a son like Ali Akbar to understand what happens to the father when you send a son like Ali Akbar to go for shahadat. No one can understand the sorrow of Imam Hussain, because nobody has a son like Ali Akbar. And according to some scholars, Ali Akbar was asked to keep on turning your head, turning your face towards the father. Ali Akbar was asked, according to certain narrations, to keep on turning his face towards Imam Hussain, because Imam Hussain wanted to see him. And finally we find in the narration that it was narrated that Ali Akbar is now going towards the maqtal, and he hears some voice coming from behind. As he turns back, he finds the old father is coming behind the son. Ali Akbar said, I just did the failure and bidat of you, in other words. Of course, how can Ali Akbar himself, how can he understand the sorrow of his father? Because Ali Akbar also doesn't have a son like Ali Akbar. You need to have a son like Ali Akbar to understand what happens to Hussain ibn Ali salam, when he is sending him. And we find that Ali Akbar said something into the ear of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and the riwayat says, فَبَكَى بُكَاءً عَالِيًا. Imam Hussain did the giriya and buka with a loud voice. Imam Hussain started to cry with a loud voice, because some of the occasions Imam Hussain in Ashura, at certain occasions he was crying, but in certain occasions he was crying with a loud voice. So this is one of those few occasions when Hussain ibn Ali was crying with a loud voice. When Hazrat Zainab asked her brother the reason why he's crying, and Imam Hussain replied that the tradition is, in other words, the tradition is the father performs wasiyyah towards the son. Thus today, the son is doing wasiyyah towards the father. So Ali Akbar did his wasiyyah towards his father. And after a while, when doing the jihad, after a while, Ali Akbar comes back and demands some water from his father, because he was feeling so thirsty. And of course, how can Imam Hussain provide the water when there is no water available? Imam Hussain shows his tongue to Ali Akbar and he says, your tongue is even more dry than my tongue. And Imam Hussain consoles his son by saying that soon, in other words, soon Rasulullah is going to provide you the drink. So Ali Akbar returns back towards the Maidan, and finally, after doing the jihad, we find when Ali Akbar falls over the ground, of Karbala, we find this is the only shaheed in the day of Ashura that Hazrat Zainab took herself ahead of Imam Hussain to reach Ali Akbar, maybe because she knew how much Imam Hussain loves Ali Akbar. This is the only shaheed of Karbala that Hazrat Zainab reached his jasad before Imam Hussain could reach. And Sayyid ibn Ta'us says in Luhuf that فَوَضَعَ خَدَّهُ عَلَى خَدِّهِ. Imam Hussain, what he did towards Ali Akbar, he put his cheek over the cheek of Ali Akbar and said the statement, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَا. خَاقْ پَرِن دُنْيَا.
Imam Hussein, God knows what happened to Imam Hussein's heart and how much sorrow he felt. Umar Ali Akbar, nobody can understand. We find, and then we find Ali Akbar starts to say to his father, because you know maybe because his father just said few moments ago that Rasulullah is going to provide drink to you, in other words. Now Ali Akbar says to his father, Hadha Jaddi Rasulullah. This is my grandfather Rasulullah. Yuqra'uka salam. He says salam to you and says, Ajjil al quduma ilayna. And he says, come quickly towards us. To Ali Akbar, he's saying to Imam Hussein, and the Prophet provided drink to Ali Akbar. But before Ali Akbar departs this world, there is still one stage remaining, brothers and sisters, and that is the stage when Ali Akbar had the part of the spear in his chest. And that's where I want to address Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was about to slaughter his son Ismail, his eyes were dried up. Isn't that right? We would like to say to Prophet Ibrahim, please come and see in the final moments when Imam Hussein is taking that part of the spear out of the chest of Ali Akbar. His eyes are not tied up. Imam Hussein takes out. You know, the body of Ali Akbar had been cut into pieces. As soon as Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes out that part of the spear from the chest of Ali Akbar, that's the time when Ali Akbar's soul departs this world. Assalamu alaikum ya.
القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for Barhum Hajjud Islam Al-Muslim Hajjaga Ahmadi.